No, it did great.
No.
It was a very successful golf course.
No, Kenny's playing all par ones, and I know my terminology. Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
My name's Nolan.
And this is episode 203, and we now have news about the upcoming PlayStation console.
Oh, yeah. I did see this.
Nolan, you saw something. Kenny, yeah. You saw something.
PS Cinco.
Nope, they're actually calling it the PlayStation 5, but close.
Are we going to get one?
And, well, that will be the question.
We'll get one and we'll share it.
No, we're just going to get one New Game Plus shared PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
A little bit of news about the PlayStation 5 before we determine whether or not we're going to get it on launch. It is slated to be released late 2020. So I think that's holiday cycle is what they're going for there. The title, as Kenny butchered it, I think he was going for 5, but he said Sace instead, is the title of the console is PlayStation 5. They didn't go crazy or wonky there.
I mean, I said Cinco, so we're good.
Right, but it's 5. Are you hearing me? Are you thinking they're the same words or what?
Well, right. I mean, clearly it's in another language, but I didn't get the number wrong.
5 is English.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
It also has ray tracing, which has something to do with lights that, like, I don't know, light bends naturally. I mean, this is the end game, of course,
yes,
but
of
like
course.
Lights are going to.
That's actually super exciting.
Probably. It, of course, is a more powerful console with rendering capability and boot time and load time and lag time. Just kidding on that one. Streaming abilities it has as well. The controller is updated, but it's PlayStation. They don't change their names or their controllers, really. So it's got adaptive triggers, haptic feedback, new speakers, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's about the news that's been released about it so far. What are the chances that you'll get a PS5 on launch?
First of all, it's weird to say PlayStation 5. Like, PS5, that's weird to me. I don't think I'll get one because I have a PlayStation 4 that I got on launch when it came out. And
I got that one on launch, really?
Yeah, I got it the holiday season that PS4 came out.
Interesting.
And I played it, like, total hours across all games on it. I swear, I think it's under 100.
Yeah, that's pretty weak.
Yeah.
That's
so
not much.
So I probably will not. I got it for Kingdom Hearts 3. That's how sad this story is. That game came out last year.
Are you not going to send me PlayStation 4 then?
Oh, no. It's mine. I mean, I want it in case.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
If you send it to me now, I'll put in 100 hours before the end of the year.
Why don't you just buy one?
Because I don't want to.
I won't buy it.
They're already cheap. I think you can get the newest one, like the Slim line. That's probably not what it's called. The Slim, PlayStation 4 Slim. You can get it for like $150 right now, I think.
Dang, really?
That's so cheap. Yeah. Kenny?
No.
Big surprise. Why?
I don't know if I've ever gotten a console like on launch. I'm just
Switch?
A, not that cool. To care up front, and B, I don't know, I like see what games drop and see how people react to it first and everything else. And I just don't do a lot of console gaming. Like, I'm more likely to put that money into just graphics cards upgrades or something.
You play 3 games total. Hearthstone, Civ, and, I don't know, Dominion? Like, seriously,
Tetris?
Those are your games.
Yeah, or the space pinball? That's
definitely
not space
like
pinball.
Modern console games aren't the things that generally hook me. Like, there's potential for exceptions, but I'm kind of boring.
I obviously won't get the PS5 on launch. I'm still trying to get Nolan's PS4 and he's not sharing. hopefully, eventually. I mean, I like these newer consoles. I'm not with the fancy stuff. I just give me the old stuff, you know? If you, dear listener, are thinking about getting a PS5, start saving up now so that when the time comes, you can upgrade to the PlayStation 5 from your PlayStation 4.
Wow, that is what you were trying to build up to with so many failures?
So good.
That is... Okay.
4!
Yes, we heard. We heard.
Oh, they yell it before they hit the golf ball. I know,
it's like brick, but for golfers.
Like in our retro game of the week, Sid Meier's Sim Golf.
Overview.
Sid Meier's Sim Golf was released in 2002 on Microsoft Windows. That's the only platform it's ever been on, no ports. So it's strictly a computer game. And it was published by EA. Developed by Firaxis. Now, you've heard the name. Really huge company, still is. Kenny is a big fan, no doubt. It was started by Sid Meier's himself, which I honestly just researched him this week. I didn't know he was a real person for some reason. Yeah. I guess I thought he was. I just never looked at him, but he's a real person.
You thought it was like Dave Thomas or what?
Tom Clancy. I don't think he's real either.
Everyone saw Sid Meier's name on games around this time, but no one took the time to actually look up who the guy was.
Right. Yeah, you're just like, oh, right, Sid Meier's our friend from the Sim place. Sure. So he started Firaxis Games, and it's still, I guess their most recent game is Civ 6, right? And Kenny is a huge fan. So big name behind this game, and by the name, you can predict what it's going to be about, especially around the time when it came out. Sim games, if you don't know, are, short for simulation, and that's the genre that this game is. So you're managing, well, in The Sims, you're managing people. You're kind of like the god of the world that The Sims live in, and they speak a funny language, and you put them in houses and marry them and make them have robot babies and weird stuff like that.
We played simulation games before on this show.
Yeah, yep. We did Hospital.
Oh, we did Theme Hospital. We did. Didn't we do Sim City early on in
we
the
did,
podcast?
Yeah. Sim we Streets Sim of Sim City. City
and Streets it, of Sim City.
Yeah.
But there's other Sim games. I mean, like even The Sims is kind of the one that Nolan, you were just talking about. You've got Sim City 2000, which was a massive one. I think. Even like if we're talking about simulation, you've even got those, I don't know, like truck simulators and airplane simulators, right. And
goat simulator,
goat simulators, yeah. And goose, untitled goose simulators.
Yeah.
So there's plenty. And then also, I don't know if you guys know, because I know that Sid Meier came up with or like helped develop or create Civilization. But mm-hmm. Did you know he was also responsible for Magic the Gathering, or at least in part?
What? No.
Yeah.
Why is
Did
it
you
not
know,
called
Kenny?
Sid Meier's Magic the Gathering?
It should be. I didn't know that. It should be that. Yeah. So this guy's like a powerhouse of creativity, in my opinion.
Yeah, like a PC god up there with Gaben. So Sim Golf.
We need to honor, by the way, Sid Meier just as much as we honor these other guys.
Yes,
so.
For sure. So Sim Golf is no exception to that whole god of the game simulation style. So you are designing a golf course, big surprise. So answer this real quick. Is Roller Coaster Tycoon within that scope of Sid Meier's, or is that a different franchise?
That's Sid Meier, baby.
Is it?
Okay, figured.
It is.
Nice.
Okay. I'm not surprised, but I'm a little surprised.
Wait, you said Roller Coaster Tycoon?
I did.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. I know Railroad Tycoon is and like Transportation Tycoon. Cool. I'm pretty sure all those Tycoon games are him.
Got it. Okay. So that's one of the comparisons that I will use here, because in The Sims, it's more about people and maybe a house in town a little bit. And City Skyline is one that's about an entire city, and it's very robust. That's like a modern third party. It's not Sid Meier's, but it's a simulation where you're managing things. And in this case, it's a golf course. So you in this game, you choose where you want to build a golf course. You have funds that you use, and you build out the course. Your main character, Gary Golf, is like your professional golfer, your character. It's a great name, by the way. And you can build out the course, so you do it by holes, and then you can add literally almost everything that would be found on a golf course, I suppose. even down to people. So there's still some Sims like people management in there as well. So you have like staff on the course, and it's just like a complete, like they set you free. It's like a sandbox style kind of play where you just keep building and growing your golf course, keeping it happy and making it larger.
Gameplay.
Being a PC game in the early 2000s, typically this happens when we're in the mid to late 90s as well, but this is 2002. It sometimes is very difficult for us to play. I was able to get it up and running this week. Kenny, were you?
I was, yeah.
And Nolan, I know, had extreme difficulties.
I had a lot of difficulties. I was pretty frustrated every evening when I got home from work because I would try something new that the Discord suggested and that I found online. And I got the same thing. It would pretend like it's opening, screen would go black, I'd hear the game like it's opening, and then it would crash. And like, I don't
you
know.
You need a more powerful computer.
It's not my computer. I don't know what it is about the early 2000s. I honestly think 90s PC might be easier sometimes. But like EA especially, and even especially Sim games, I find, like Streets of Sim City. I remember you or Dear Baby having issues with launching an older Sim on your computer too. There's something about EA and the way that they built their Microsoft games that like makes it ridiculous to play later. So no, I didn't play the game.
Which that's a first for us. That's I think it was the other Sim game, right? It was the Sim car
Streets
racing,
of Sim City,
Streets of Sim City,
that even Antonin had, couldn't get to
right,
run.
We had most difficulty with. We were able to get some version of it running. So yeah, you still did one, your research.
That one was crazy buggy, though.
That and one, yeah, it was crazy
even
buggy.
When it was running, it didn't work. It was terrible.
This one, if you can get it running, it runs pretty well. At least it did for me. I mean, there are crashes every now and again. But so we'll all be able to talk about this together. No one didn't. You did your research. You watched some. You played some. So. Yes. We'll all be able to talk successfully about Sid Meier's Sim Golf. You start the game by picking your difficulty, as I think it's like easy, medium, and hard, or easy, normal, and hard, something along those lines.
There's four. It's like
four. Classic, yeah, it's like a something like that.
Right. It's like an easy, moderate, difficult, impossible, or something.
And that determines, it doesn't determine how much starting money you have, but like the terrain and how picky your golfers are and a few other features in there. You then pick your starting location. So you've got locations like Rocky Mountains, Las Vegas, Scotland. That affects the terrain. Also, it on some areas, it gives you like a landmark. In one area, I know there was a rundown castle that later on in the game, like much later, you can actually rebuild the castle, and it's a great structure for the area.
So cool.
Yeah, and so like there's different kind of areas that you can purchase, and you purchase that area, and then you've got a little bit money left over to start designing your golf course.
Now, as you're picturing this, picture designing a golf course and little players running around and interacting on it, but visually imagine Age of Empires 2 graphics.
Yeah.
Kinda. You take your golfers to battle.
Yeah.
You don't, but it totally has that vibe to me. Or maybe I'm the only one, but when I opened it up and you have the little clubhouse that looks sort of castle-ish and just the era and, I don't know, graphical style, I was like, oh, it's Age of Empires 2, peaceful, boring game edition.
Well, it's that isometric view, at least. And I agree, graphically, it does have some similarities. But like, yeah, it's the isometric top-down kind of playing field. And honestly, it looks pretty massive, even for like the start. I feel like this game would be hard for someone that doesn't like golf to begin playing. So prove me wrong, those of you that played it.
Yeah,
I mean, well, I don't like golf, and I did begin playing it successfully.
Yeah, and I did too. I guess you've got to know like the basics of golf. Like here, you've got to start on one area, hit the ball, and it's got to end up in a hole. If you know that, then you can figure your way around here. I know very little about golf. Very, very little. I've never played golf before. Only mini golf a few times. Don't love it. So I'm going in here pretty blind in the realm of golf. But I found out fairly quickly, if you, like in most of these games, you hover over the icons, they're going to give you a description of what you're looking at. So you've got probably, depending on what map you start with, what difficulty, you've got like 10 different kind of tiles that you can place down to build your golf course. And so it's everything from different kinds of greens to different kinds of fairways. Listen to me talk about golf now.
Oh,
to
sand pits.
Sand dunes.
Oh, and, dunes, sorry.
No, it might be pits. I don't know.
Traps even?
Sand traps.
Oh, it is a sand trap. Kenny's right.
Sand storms, like you just placed down. Stormtroopers? Stormtroopers? You've got various tiles that you can place down, and you're trying to build out eventually, you know, a full 18 hole golf course.
Although is that you're like going beating
to, I don't know. Can you beat this game? I'm sure you can. Well, probably.
Right.
But I think you can like win in that you like get first place as all the game, ratings come up.
The game's not going to end.
Right. But it never ends. The goal is build your golf empire, make a bunch of money, keep expanding. So it's one of those sort of infinitely playable, replayable.
That's pretty much any sim game. It's not like you get to the end and then you stop. You get to the end and then you've got an empire that you keep tidying up.
at least all the civilization stuff, you clearly have a like you won or you lost end of the game at some point.
It's weird because I don't hear the word simulation in Civilization, which
okay, but you hear Sid Meier's name.
But in this game you're building out, but I said you're building your holes relatively slowly. You start when the game came out, so I think your year starts as 2002. I played till about the current year, and that's pretty far. I played till about 2019, 2020. But still I maybe had 9 holes by the end of that. So because it takes a while. And so the idea is, here's what's happening. You're building your holes. You're trying to keep your golfers happy. You open up holes once they're ready. You can pause the game at any time, like in these Sims type games. And every once in a while, a certain golfer comes through, and if he likes your course and enjoys your course, then he offers you a new plot of land, because you only start on a limited space. If you've got enough money, you can purchase that plot of land wherever you want, and then you can continue to build out your golf, your holes from there. And I probably got half, maybe a little bit more of the plots that were totally available to me. And as you continue to play, you get more plots, you place more holes, and you make more money.
I feel like you must have been really spread out if it took you that many plot additions to get 18 holes.
Of course.
Like I fit 7 holes. 7? Yeah, I fit 7 holes on the starting
Kenny,
grid.
That's bad.
No, it did great.
Well, no, because
it was a very successful golf course.
If they're too close, don't the golfers get upset? Like,
yes.
Hey, no, Kenny, it just makes them not have to walk far.
No, Kenny's playing all par ones, and I know my terminology.
Kenny, they have golf carts. You don't have to walk to each hole.
They only have golf carts once you put down the building for them to have carts. So it's cool because not only are you building the holes, but you've got facilities. And so you've got a cart garage, which allows your golfers to move from hole to hole faster, making them all happier. You've got a driving range so your golfers can make their
improve
skills
their long
better.
Game. Yeah.
And then you've got a snack bar even that you place at certain strategic holes. So when they're waiting, because they will have to wait because it gets congested, they'll be able to eat. Well, like it's all thought out. I love it.
You got to make the money back. That's
absolutely
another big thing is the money management, right? Like managing your resources.
That really is the game.
Yeah. Like I always kind of struggle with these kinds of games because of that. I never know, like, should I use all of my money? And I don't think that's how you're supposed to do it. But, like, even putting down a pathway, you're using money to do that. So there's, like, I think it seemed like there was a really, really strong balance to, like, the golfers being happy versus how much money you have.
I will say it was nice that you could see results of changes you made. pretty clearly, like if you were doing well or not doing well. Not only did the golfers show right away between their little texts and their actual attitude and the money you were making, but like whether or not you were growing and being successful was really obvious. And so doing investments and being strategic about how you actually designed courses actually felt genuine, which would have been really easy for it to not be the case. Like, I don't know. I'd be really curious to know more about how they like judge complexity of a hole and whether a hole is well designed or not. But it seems like they do a pretty good job of that. And that was really impressive to me.
And there's a lot of depth there on how they do it. And I don't know all the math behind it, but every player that's coming onto your course has different stats, and some of them have greater accuracy, some of them have greater creativity, some of them have a greater long game or power. And so based on their skills, some holes they'll be good at while other holes they won't be good at. And we mentioned it at the start, but one of the really cool things here is that you're not just God mode all the time. You do have a golfer. You can change his name, change his look. Gary Golf, but he is you, the manager of that golf course, but also you can go and golf and improve your skills as well. And so you've got a series of, I don't know, something like six or eight probably skills that you can improve the percentage of, then you get certain points to put into those. And it will improve your game. So every once in a while, a tournament comes around and you can play at your course. And if you get first place, you get $40,000, $100,000. And so that helps your revenue go up astronomically.
That's such a good choice, I feel like, to add variety to the game. Because I think a lot of people would be just perfectly satisfied managing and doing building. The God mode thing. Building.
Yeah.
But like for me, that... having a player that you actually can kind of level up and invest in is a nice little touch and adds a little variety to an otherwise very straightforward genre.
Kind of think SimCity with The Sims kind of put together, but you're not changing modes or even view. You're staying in this overhead isometric view. The golf mechanic is relatively limited. You're picking my terminology is up.
Well done.
I honestly, club, you're picking the club that you're using, whether it's the iron or the wood or the putter or the driver. Yeah. And, you're picking that. And then you can kind of like estimate or guess where you're going to place it, but then your stats come into play and all those things. So it stays in that overhead God mode view. But yeah, you do have control of your character to be able to go around and play these rounds. And it's just a really cool added feature that, yeah, like you're saying, Nolan, kind of broadens who the game is for.
In terms of progression, you said that 18's like the goal, like that's how long a normal golf course is in real life. So I suppose that's like the really big long-term goal. But I'm curious how progression was for y'all. I know you spoke to it a little bit where you just had one hole for a while, but like at what point did it really start to take off, or was it just literally like you had a hole for a year or 2 years and then you added another one?
Kenny went faster than me.
Apparently.
I had a moment where things really started to take off because I was struggling for a little, even though not playing on that hard of a difficulty. And that's because one of the really important features, as we've already talked about, is hiring people.
Right.
What I didn't know is that after you hire them, you have to sort of manually place them as to where you want them to focus on to have an effect on your course.
Right. They're AOE.
Right. And so I had hired a bunch of people and just assumed they would like probably be fine-tunable, but sort of automatically dispersed to wherever there was need.
So you just placed them all really wherever?
Yeah, so at first, there's this giant clump of people that I'd hired that all started like right at your first hole that just stood around, and then golfers were trying to come through there and bottlenecking, and things were just going really poorly. But I designed this, I thought, pretty nice course for the amount of time I'd played. And so when I finally realized that and then spread everyone around to do their work, I suddenly went from like kind of getting by and making a little bit of forward progress to being like, oh man, this is a really successful golf course almost immediately.
Your happiness was like zero.
Oh yeah, like it was up, but it wasn't like going up into big numbers, and so it went up really fast after that.
I took my time. I wasn't trying to rush to like end game. I was trying to perfect my holes, and I was trying to make all of my players happy and make a good sum of money. And so the thing that is amazing here is how much customability and fine tuning that you have at your fingertip. You can see there's kind of three main tabs. It's like the building a hole tab, your facilities tab,
and your
people tab. And in the people tab, you can see everyone that's currently on your golf course. You can click on them, see what hole there are, what their skills are. Like it's so detailed there. You can kick them off your course if you want them off your course. You can you can challenge them to a game, any of those things. In your facilities, you've got some of the buildings that we've talked about before, but you can also do some like manual effects to the holes and the turf that you're using. So one of the things that in the easy mode, it doesn't really come into play, but in the harder modes, I know that it's very important, is elevation of the land. You can change completely, like we're going to slope this down to the green, or we're going to make this a hill, or we're going to, and you can change the terrain at any point in time without any kind of cost. And so that's interesting. You can put down benches along the way, benches, by the way, just in case people are waiting at a hole too long, they can sit at a bench. There's bridges across the water. There's trees to keep people from playing off the wrong greens. And then during the golf, there's just so many ways to fine-tune your holes. And so that's kind of just what I focused on, making a beautiful, beautiful golf course and taking it slow.
Did you take any screenshots so we can see?
I didn't, but I will hop back in. I didn't because once this game starts, it's like full screen. It's the 800 by 600 or whatever.
I'll accept
like,
the phone pick. I just want to see how different Kenny's is from yours. Because like when it comes to the elevation part that you're talking about with the customization, you'd lose me there. Like I probably wouldn't do any of that because it's confusing to me. But I guess can you mess it up really bad if you just start
totally.
And you can't permanently mess it up.
Yeah, you can always change it, but
no, but like your golfers, if they have to walk uphill too far, they really complain about it and it puts them in a bad mood.
Oh, that's
understandably
cool.
And like if the elevation's too severe on some of your holes, it makes the shots really, really hard to make. It is a really important factor. But I felt like one of the good things about this game was that everything was important. Like if you just don't build any benches anywhere, your little guys are going to whine about not having a place to sit down, and they're going to be tired and need a rest. And even the little stuff ends up playing a big role. I also think it's worth pointing out just sort of the humorous elements they put into this game. There's lots of like references to faux versions of celebrities, and your golfers, as they play, talk to each other, and they talk about all kinds of crazy things, from business deals to foreign government conspiracies to like everything in between that you would expect like stereotypically to happen on a golf course. And it was really funny that they kind of took that angle.
That's the text boxes that are coming up, because of course you're just hearing them speak in Simlish too.
Right.
So like all of that is very Sims, and they keep the humor there. It's really light and fun at the same time. I think it's important to mention here at the end of the gameplay section that you don't just have that. That's kind of the main game, your standard game, but you've also got a sandbox mode, which I believe has unlimited money, unlimited land space. So if you just want to go in and build like a absolutely sexy golf course, which I've never said that sentence before, then sandbox mode might be for you. You could also just click play a championship. And so if you just want to go in it for the golf thing, so they kind of on both ends there, if you're coming in to play this game and you just want to build something beautiful, sandbox mode is for you. If you just want to come in and get the golf play, then you can play a championship. But if you want it all, then you can do what Kenny and I and Nolan attempted to do.
Aged.
So golf has been around and popular as a sport for a really long time. Is this game going to keep the same kind of popularity as the sport?
I mean, good transition. But I think golf has been around. Was it in the Bible? I don't.
It's been around a long time.
Really long time.
I think the ancients actually.
And my dad loves it. He loves watching it. He used to play.
Who closest to you likes golf? Your dad?
My brother and my dad. My brother was a very good golfer. He should have pursued that, but he didn't.
Do you know any golfers?
No. Not well enough to talk about.
Do you know any people is kind of probably a better
question.
That's
a better question. Have you left your home?
You know what? Here, are there any golfers that listen to us? I mean, I'm sure there are,
probably.
Right?
Yeah.
And I wonder if there's any in Discord, anyone that we talk to regularly. Let us know. We'd love to know because we're not golfers, and Nolan's probably the closest to golfers. Like, no one in my family even golfs, my immediate family either. So, yeah.
Y'all hoop.
So, Kenny, to answer your great question, no. There's still millions of people around the world, probably more, that are playing real golf. And I think there's probably a lot less of that's playing. And even if we go to percentages of who start, like how many, I think there's a lot less people playing Sid Meier's Sim Golf today.
Yes. And I think there's several reasons for that probably, but Sim games in general, like the genre, I think have this weird aging factor where like, I mean, take Civilization, for instance. They've got a new iteration, what, every couple of years, every 3 years, and it's now the new Sim game. It's the new standard, or Civ game, sorry. If you're going back and playing Civ, an earlier Civ, I don't think ton of people are doing that. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know what
I'm talking about. It's a smaller percentage for sure.
Yeah.
But you're making the point that these kind of games, they improve. And re-release and make new versions of it, which in some ways make the older version obsolete, which I would love to hear Kenny's rebuttal on that one.
Oh, I know he's got one. That's why I said that. But there hasn't been another Sim Golf, I don't think, or like a new version of it.
There hasn't been a remake of this. This is the one and only of this. Right.
At least like, for Access folks, I don't think so. I'm sure there's other golf simulators out there that are much more current and in depth. There have to be. Like, I would literally be flabbergasted if there weren't. But like anything, this is one of those things that what they were doing was taking a genre that was generally popular, like early 2000s, these sim games kind of just blew up. And then they were catering it to as many people's interests as they could. And so from a like make your game successful and popular point of view, it's a totally great thing to do. But it does mean that to a large extent, unless you're into golf itself as a game, if you're presented with Sim Golf and a whole bunch of other sim games and you can choose which simulation to live in, I don't know that a lot of people are going to choose golf.
Fair, but I don't know if it just has to be something that like you're passionate about or previously enjoy. I've played sim games for things that I don't really care about. Like,
yeah, I super don't think you have to be into it. I didn't play, but I don't think like I don't care about roller coasters at all. But I played a lot of Roller Coaster Tycoon. It was super
and
fun.
I don't like animals. I don't care for zoos, but I played Sim Zoo. I definitely don't care for hospitals, but Theme Hospital is one of the greats. So I get what you're saying. I don't know if I agree with what you're saying.
I'll allow it.
Thanks, bud. For me in Sim Golf, one of the aging factors is the AI. And you get that with these PC games, these Sim PC games. It was somewhat problematic. The golfers are sometimes really stupid. And the name of the game is trying to figure out how to not make them hit the golf ball from hole three to hole one to try to get to the hole at hole three. I mean, was that a
common problem?
For me, it was.
I feel like you just had to have done really poor job designing your holes then.
You keep saying that, and I'm going to take a picture of mine. Mine is far. You just threw holes up on your one plot of land.
But in a logical progression.
Wrong. Wrong.
I don't know if I ever had anybody hit onto the wrong course.
Were you watching? Yes. You don't even know. There is a tool in your there's a tool in your toolbar where you can click on any part of your course and you can see where the golfers are going to try to hit the ball based on their skills. Right. Wow. I don't know. That sounds right though. Yeah, and sometimes I would do that to test, and some of them, the lazy people, the dummies, would hit it, yes, to other greens. And so I'd have to place trees in the way so that they wouldn't do that. You probably never used that tool or didn't watch your golfers closely, and so you never knew how unhappy your golfers were. But the reason why you never made enough money to get another plot of land is because your golfers hated your course.
I had money coming out of my ears. And I had happy golfers for days.
Yeah,
I had heiresses donating me icons. Yeah. I had city managers giving me new plots of land.
Played God
and
mode.
I never had to put up trees to differentiate because I didn't have two holes like right up next to each other. Pumping.
I have a question.
That's what golf courses do. You need to go to a golf course. What's your question, Nolan?
So this will help me decide if it's aged well or not. You know those blimps that float across sometimes?
Firaxis, yeah.
That say Firaxis. Can golfers hit them?
If I say yes, you'll like that.
Yeah, yeah, I will.
But I think the answer is no, because they're way up in the air.
Well, it doesn't look it from my view.
Yeah.
In real life... That blimp would have to be so low.
Hey, on a serious note, the HUD for me is super ugly and looks so that era of Microsoft and those games. I don't like it at all. It reminds me of XP, Microsoft XP.
It's dated, but it's clean. You know what you're doing?
It looks like a kid's game almost, though, like the way the buttons are shaped and the icons. I mean, I guess it's a kid's game.
I didn't love the aesthetic of it, and I did feel like it could have been a little clearer, but I could always figure out what I wanted to do. Although sometimes I had to like dig into menus within menus, and so that was annoying. But I don't think it was like great, but it wasn't problematic for me.
Graphics aren't good, but in my opinion, for these kinds of games, you're not going ultra realist. I mean, again, think early Civ, think early Sim City, those kinds of things. They're not impeccable. They're not HD, but they get the job done.
Sure. Yeah, like that didn't distract me at all. Like you can still tell what's going on. You still know the tile, like where the tiles are and what you can put there. I honestly kind of like the graphics because I agree with Kenny. It reminds me of Age of Empires 2, and I've always been down with that.
It's charming.
Yeah, it's charming. Yeah, it's a little pixelated, just a little bit. Just I don't know. It's nice.
It felt nice, generally. I do wish that you'd been able to zoom in one level further than you could.
Yeah.
I often found in trying to select specific people, especially when they were close to other people, that I had a little bit of trouble there. And even things like how the hole was functioning that you could kind of see, but not super well. If I could have gone in one more time closer and interacted with almost like hole to hole instead of like section to section, I feel like I could have probably fine tuned some things a little better, especially when there were elevation changes. That was a lot harder to see what your changes were affecting. And so I did want that. I like that you could zoom out really far to have a sense of like the course as a whole. But overall, it looked nice. The text boxes popping up are a little boring as a way of communicating, but it's almost charming and it's happening all over the place. And they did a good job of like color coordinating happy and sad and everything else with how those look. So you could at a glance have a sense of what was going on. So
like
I knew generally graphics were good.
I knew white or gray, I could just ignore. Green is good. And if there's anything red, it's like it needs my attention.
Yeah. And on the note of the text boxes, I think the humor here, we mentioned it briefly, aged pretty well. I liked it a lot. It's very Sim. That's in a lot of the games and all of them. But like when it notifies you that like, I don't know, a professional golfer is going to visit your course and his name's I Am Picky.
Yeah, I Am Picky. He's the one that always comes through. And then you get the next year, you get I Am Picky the second, and then I Am Picky the third. Yeah, they just keep coming.
Like, that's so good to me. And I think that's still funny.
I had Pamela Panderson living on my golf course, which was cool. And I had Snoop come and play a couple of rounds of golf. And so, like, it was really funny.
That it does age well, and it's because this game doesn't take itself too seriously.
Sure.
It's yeah. lighthearted. They're having fun, and that really kind of carries through the graphics, through the audio, through the gameplay, through even the HUD, what you're looking at, all of those things. Very simplistic, very not taking yourself too seriously, but also smart in what they're trying to do.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. It typically requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. Nolan, I know that we talked about it some before, but having not played the game this week, it will be in your court. The golf ball will be in your court. The golf ball will be on your green. Do you feel like you have an adequate experience with the game to give a vote this week, or are you just going to abscond, Kenny, and just give it to me and Kenny to make our decision?
I'm absolutely sitting it out. I do not think it's fair because I watched a lot of it, read a lot, absorbed a lot of Sim Golf, but I did not play it, and that's what this is about. So I'm going to sit it out, actually. I'll give you some thoughts if you want, but I think it's 2 out of 2 on this one.
How about this? You give us your thoughts. It won't count as a vote, but would like to know your summarized thoughts, and then I'll go, and then Kenny will go.
Yeah, okay. So I think coming into simulation games, I have a little bit of a like hurdle to get over, I'd say. There are very few of them that I just outright can start enjoying from the beginning. And I would say like Civ 6 is the only one that I've ever been able to like experience that with, which is a very modern game. So if I were to have played this game for a long time this week, maybe that opinion would have been different. But I am not interested in a golf sim, and I just don't think it would be my thing. And especially since I do not like the style of the HUD, I think EA makes bad games at times, or the games they published around the time always had issues, and I experienced some of that. But those are the surface level thoughts that I have on the game. I think it is charming. I think that it could be a sleeper hit, even though like one of those random truck driving sims, like I would not be shocked to hear that one of those games are like really, really fun and good. So maybe it's in that category, but yeah. That's what I think about it.
I think Sid Meier's Sim Golf is easy enough for most people to play. Nolan even referenced it, maybe even looking like, feeling like at times a kid's game. But I don't think of that in the negative sense, at least not for me. I think it's easy to play and get into. However, there's a lot of depth actually for someone that wants to dive deep, probably even more depth than someone would even know on a casual playthrough of it. But as I continued to dig this week, I found more and more that could really like fine tune certain golf courses and keep your ball off other people's courses and on the right one, like Kenny and I both had issues with. But it is creative. It is fun. I've always been a sucker for sim games. Not all of them are created equally, but this is among the ones that are a lot of fun. In my opinion, you do not have to like or know golf well to like Sim Golf, because I did not know or like golf. However, I very much so enjoyed Sim Golf, and so it gets my vote for New Game Plus status.
Kenny, let's hear it.
I guess that gives me lots of power since Nolan can't
it doesn't
counteract me like he's so prone to do.
But it's just you and me, and we have to agree for it to go into.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, we both would have had to have been on the same page to get. I mean, we both would have liked it, had to have liked it for it to get New Game Plus.
So are you giving yourself away by saying that?
Yeah, I know. Accidentally letting slip for those of you who can sleuth me out. I had fun sometimes this week. As you jump into the game, it on-ramps you easily. It's pretty straightforward what you're wanting to accomplish. Some of the development is rewarding. There is progression. You always have something else that you're supposed to do. But there was a lot of times that I just felt like I was sitting there watching my people spend time running around on this golf course waiting for it to make enough money to do anything else, for the better or for the worse. And there were just lots of like lulls throughout that were kind of problematic for me. I also do think that because of the landscape, this isn't just like, is this game fun to some degree on its own? Because it is. It's fun and does some good things with tone. But it's really competing against every other simulation game there is. And I think most people are going to find a sim game that's closer to their interests and that's more engaging than golf. Like, I don't know. Just like my interest in golf is turn on a tournament on a Sunday afternoon so that I can nap, I would turn on gameplay of someone else playing Sid Meier's Sim Golf if I really needed something to put me to sleep. Wow. But I wouldn't pull it out and play it for my own entertainment, at least in long periods of time. So no New Game Plus from me.
You're rude.
Yeah.
You rude. And it's just...
Too bad I didn't play this week.
Sid Meier's Sim Golf is weirdly not New Game Plus certified. But what did you think? Olandero said, Sid Meier's Sim Golf was one of those games growing up that I loved, but I never found anyone else who played it. I was a huge fan of Civilization and Maxis's Sim games, so to see Sid Meier's name on a Sim game, I had to check it out. Within minutes, I had golfers playing on the first hole of my course. The crisp, clear graphics were outstanding for a sim game back in the day, and the quirky humor was great. Whilst I'll admit the game is pretty easy, it felt Nintendo-like in that I kept going back endlessly tweaking my holes so that they were more challenging to all but the best players. The game had a spiritual remake recently in Resort Boss Golf, but in my view, it's not a patch on this. I really would love to see an HD remaster that is easier to run on modern monitors. I'm not sure why it has disappeared off the face of the Earth. It's not on Origin nor GOG, but I really hope that this week more of you got to have a taste with one of the most hidden of gems and will be pleasantly surprised.
I can get on board with a remake of this. That's one of the ones I'd say, yeah, go for it and probably be really good.
That's kind of the theme. Hospital got a spiritual remake recently. And even, man, there's some other ones. Sim games are not a dying breed.
No, like City Skyline. That was a massively successful spiritual success or whatever.
Right. Garlisle wrote in and said, I was wondering if this game would live up to faint childhood memories. And the answer is mostly yes. Letting you create something you can actually play on is a genius mixture, especially because it helps remedy the tycoon game's problem of doing nothing while waiting on income. There's just enough color here, thanks to the Sims element, to really propel it forward too, giving it more life than most. Not to say it's flawless. The game could use a fast forward. Its UI is functional but not great, and its compatibility on modern systems is... Well, I'm sure Nolan said it by now. Plus, I'd love to have a ton more pieces to build my courses out of. Basically, what I'm saying is we need a good successor because this is a strong enough foundation to still be fun and unique today.
Why do we not have easy methods of playing PC games?
Yeah.
It should be PC. Anyways.
I completely agree with you. Kenny, you did not give this game your vote for New Game Plus status, and you're going to have to live with it for the rest of your life. Do you agree there should be a spiritual successor? And like, do you think that it even was quality enough to merit a spiritual successor?
Oh, absolutely. I still think my biggest beef isn't with the game itself not being fun, except for like some pacing issues. It's a pretty well done game. I just don't know. It's one that I would recommend like to everybody to go play. I feel like there's just other sim games that are going to be better and more relevant to people. And so, I gave this one a no New Game Plus, but like just barely. Like it's a well done game. And so I think Carlisle's thoughts there summed it up well.
Well, barely is still completely in our book. So thank you for writing in. As always, you can send in your thoughts on the Retro Game of the Week to ngppodcast@gmail.com. But this week, we're going to set aside Sid Meier's Sim Golf, and we're going to randomly select from our ever-growing Retro Master list the next game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days. And it is...
hopefully not a PC game.
Weird. It's a game called PC Playing PC PCs.
PC simulator?
PC simulator. Oh, no. Hey, I PC actually was looking up simulation games, and there is a PC builders simulator where you can build your own PC with different components and see how it runs. That. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's cool.
All right. The retro game of the week that we're about to play is a game like we've never played before.
Okay.
The producers are Hiroshi Imanishi and Shigeru Miyamoto.
Sounds like a lot of games we've played before.
We've never played a game like this before. Miyamoto. It was published by Nintendo.
Never heard of them.
Created for the Famicom / NES.
Okay.
Came out in 1984.
Hey.
Jeez. And it is one of the NES titles light gun shooter games.
Oh.
Interesting.
And it is called Wild Gunman.
Oh my goodness. Where am I gonna get one of those little guns?
we've gotta get a light gun.
You thought, no. Nolan, that PC emulation was difficult.
You gotta get a flashlight, shine it at your screen.
Can you play this game with controller? Surely.
Hopefully, or this is 2 weeks in a row that you're not playing. yeah, it's a Wild West gunslinger type of video game with the gun.
If I'm going to be honest with you, I did not know there's a game other than Duck Hunt that used that gun.
That you used the gun with?
Yeah.
Especially one where you shoot other humans, I wouldn't have thought, you know?
Yeah, but you're shooting bad guys in the Wild West. That's pretty PC.
Yeah. No, it's NES.
It's not PC.
Find a copy of Wild Gunman and play it with us this week. Somehow, also send us a light gun shooter, please.
Yes. Join us in Discord this week. You can go to ngppodcast.com, click join us in Discord, and meet our thriving, wonderful, great community. We want you to be a part of it.
A special thanks to a couple of new patrons this week that we want to give a big shout out. Keegan joined us on the Patreon bandwagon, so thanks. Hello, Keegan. And we especially want to highlight Garlyle, who has now recreated history by becoming the second person ever to choose to support us at the director level.
Woo!
Which is super high. Gives him a couple of really, really cool show bonuses. It's one of those above and beyond kind of things that we don't expect many people to do, but are super grateful for him jumping on. And that means that in the not too distant future, you'll get to hear a little bit more from him, even beyond his consistent feedback through emails to the show, which we always appreciate. So, Garlyle, thanks so much for jumping in and being our newest director. And as always, we want to say thanks to our producer level supporters: Antonin, Ben, Bill, Dear Baby, Corey, Maxima, Zach, and Zion. You guys are great.
Look at you stuttering on Garlyle. You're like, is he a producer or what?
Right. Do I say his name again? Or no, yeah, but we already Garlyle, covered it.
Garlyle, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And for everyone else, we're again, because of Garlyle's generous donation, very close to playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, gosh.
This could be the moment if a few more people hop onto our Patreon and either up their pledge or start their pledge. There's going to be chaos in the Wild West. Join us on our social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch at NGP Podcast. Our YouTube at New Game Plus Podcast. You can listen to us directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we try to play Wild Gunman. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
Nolan.
And this has been New Game Plus. hopefully eventually. I mean, I like these newer consoles. I'm not with the fancy stuff. I just give me the old stuff, you know? Give me the old stuff and free my soul. Tom, cut again? That part.
No.
Tom, let's pause. Tom, cut that part.
No. you gotta do an actual fresh restart now.
All right. I want to get lost in your rock and roll.
Why did I do that?
And drift away.
And drift away.
He's gonna be cheap every single day and not buy stuff.